From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour. Indeed, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we're rejoicing to have the superintendent of schools, Katie Prada, with us today, and joined by Teresa Sparks, a regional director for the Diocese of Sacramento Department of Schools. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you. It's so great to be here.
Good to be here. Katie, since we last saw you, you have a young child.
Yes, I know. I've been out for a little bit, so it's been great being back. But yes, my husband and I were blessed with a beautiful little boy, and so that obviously
has been wonderful.
Taking up my time, but yeah, it's great to be back.
Did you, I remember when we had our first, and it was like, the joke is there's no manual. They don't come, they don't arrive with a manual, you know,
yes,
like the new TV or something, you know.
For as prepared as I thought we were, we definitely were not. I think the first night home from the hospital, my husband said, "Are we ever going to sleep again?" And I said, "Very unlikely."
Did you paint the nursery the wrong color?
No, thank goodness.
No, they're life-changing.
Yes, absolutely.
But they are a gift from God, for sure.
Oh, my gosh. It's just been the most beautiful blessing. So we are just so incredibly grateful.
That's wonderful. Yeah. That's wonderful. And Teresa, you've been with schools for
a very long time.
Very long time.
Yes, I have. I've worked in several schools in the diocese as a teacher for a long time, and then as a principal, and now as a regional director. So I just retired from working in the schools this
last what, July. Where were you? Which schools were you at?
My last school, I was at Sacred Heart in Sacramento. For 15 years, I was there to build the school, the new school, which was really a thrill and a lot of work. I've never worked so hard. Before that, I was at Loretto for two years.
Yep.
And before that, I was at Our Lady of the Assumption as the principal with Father Leo McAllister,
right.
Some people might remember dear Father Leo.
They remember him fondly.
Yes, he was a wonderful person to work with and have as our pastor. And then before that, I worked at St. John the Evangelist, where I, too, went to school.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
And my children went to school there as well. And let's see, St. Francis Elementary and Holy Family are two other schools that
I had
worked in.
A niece and a nephew go to St. Francis.
Really?
Yeah.
It was a long, long time ago.
And then off to, Christian Brothers.
There you go. That's a natural transition. That's great.
So have you always been in Catholic education?
I have. I tell people I have nothing to compare it to. I went to Catholic school myself from kindergarten, not kindergarten because they didn't even have kindergarten in those days, first grade through
when
college.
I was going to kindergarten, it was like as a communist plot or something.
Yeah.
You know, like it was banned.
Yeah. So I have had the honor of being in Catholic school my whole life.
Wow.
Except for my student teaching, and which was a great experience, but I definitely feel devoted to Catholic school.
Where'd you get your credential?
I got my credential through St. Mary's College and my, I had three kids, Mrs. Prada.
Yeah.
While I had three kids and was working full time, I did both my credential and my administrative work, so a master's degree.
So even St. Mary's is Catholic. So
even St. Mary's is Catholic, and even though I'm a Loyola Lion, it was I still identify as a Loyola Lion. LMU was my
LMU, sure.
Yeah, it was my college, but I did marry a Gale, so you know he went to St. Mary's. So
yeah, it's amazing. Anytime you're on that campus, if you took a campus tour, once you got to St. Mary's, that'd be the end of the tour.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And none of our kids went to either of those schools. We have three adults, but they weren't, it's gotten crazy expensive. So our youngest did go to Gonzaga, though.
Oh, very good.
So basketball season's a little crazy in our house.
You know,
just a little.
Was it Father Spitzer, when he was president there, we would have him on at the start of March Madness every year.
Yeah.
We would have
next
him on.
Next weekend.
Yeah, and he was such a joy to talk to. And it's I've been on that campus a number of times, and it's such a – I've actually covered a couple of games there.
Wow.
And I've never seen a crowd having so much fun.
No, we were able to do that one time. It's just, well, there's not a lot to do in Spokane, so the Zags are a big deal.
Yeah, well,
plus they're good.
It's funny, you know, we have a contest at our house during March Madness to see how many times some East Coast announcer will call it Gonzaga.
Yes.
And it drives, you know, we keep track.
We do the same thing.
It drives me crazy. And I say, they're not the Zogs, they're the Zags.
Yes. How Gonzaga.
Yeah, how bad is it? Yeah, I've been in, two of my babies were baptized at St. L's.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a great place. Yeah. We loved it there, had a great time.
I met my wife at Priest Lake, which is northern Idaho.
Yeah,
and we'd come through Spokane, and we'd always go to Mass at St. L's. In fact, I was in Cheney covering a football game.
Wow.
And then Sunday morning went to Mass at St. L's.
Yep. They're right close together there.
Yeah.
How fun. Well, yeah. Like I said, basketball season is exciting at our house.
Because I ran into somebody in the grocery store the other day, and he was wearing a Gonzaga sweatshirt, and it said, Gonzaga football, undefeated since 1953.
Yeah, I've seen that same one. I've seen that for LMU.
Yeah. LMU?
No, the, no
LMU
football team
used to
since
play
1943.
Pretty,
yeah, they were great.
They were
great.
Back
were in the
great.
Day.
Yeah.
Not my day.
Yeah.
Just make that clear.
And St. Mary's, Santa Clara, and USF were all big.
All
they were big-time powers.
Yes.
Yeah. It all changed.
Well, so that's why basketball is such a big deal
yeah.
at those schools, but especially at Gonzaga. Now, St. Mary's won the bracket this year, so they might be the team that takes it all the way.
They had a tough loss Saturday night to Gonzaga.
Yes.
But usually Gonzaga wins that game. The last couple of years, St. Mary's
won it up at Gonzaga, which is the first time in years and years
yeah.
and years. So
yeah.
Let's talk basketball, right?
Yeah. You're listening to ESPN.
Catholic ESPN. There you go.
No, it is interesting because we do have a contest at home, and forget the brackets. We just have questions. And it's how many of the Catholic schools will get to the Elite Eight?
Yeah, there you go.
Because you see these, you see some Catholic schools you've never even heard of
yeah.
before. And there they are. They're in the final, you know, like.
It should be a poll in itself.
It should be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just the Catholic school
yes.
bracket. Yeah. So tell us what a regional director does.
Well, I'm a
Katie, we're just going to ignore you.
Sorry,
we talked about your baby.
And I oversee or help coach five principals. So I'm a part-time regional director. There are full-time regional directors in the Catholic school department. But I have the fun of going up to the north part of the state. So I have five schools up north, and I work with the principals there and help.
Furthest north is Reading for
Reading
a Catholic school?
And it is the furthest north. I don't happen to have Reading, but I have Red Bluff, not too far from there.
There's so much pride in Red Bluff that school. There really
is. It's a wonderful
is.
School, and it's, you know, the settings of those schools are so beautiful, and it's really fun for me. I enjoy driving up there. It's like a little vacation every time I go. In fact, I'll be heading up that way tomorrow. So
really?
I just oversee a coach.
Have you ever stopped at the Olive Pit in Corning?
No, but I want to.
Oh, you have to.
Okay.
They have tastings. I mean, free tastings.
I'll do that tomorrow.
We wipe them out with our family every time we head north. I mean, it's like.
And you can buy their olive oil.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. The kids, that's like we could be going anywhere. Disneyland. Well, Disneyland's not that way. But
we have to stop
at the Olive Pit, period.
That.
Yes, it's and it's
you
right.
Usually go to Grand Zanella's.
Yeah,
I well, Grand Zanella's, yeah, and Williams, of course.
Yes.
But
I've never been there either.
It's really cute there.
Grand Zanella's is very good,
yes.
Especially if you go in the bar and have
yes.
dinner. It's
yes.
and see all the animals and.
You had me go to the bar.
Yeah, yeah.
Not teasing.
And then the Olive Pit is it's legendary.
Yeah. Okay, well.
And they have all these different.
Now they know I'm coming.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we call and find out how late are they? Because it's usually summer. And we say, how late are you open? You know,
yeah.
and we time our trip to at least an hour at the Olive Pit.
That's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, that whole ride is just
it's lovely.
Full, especially this time of year when everything's in bloom. Oh,
mm-hmm.
my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah. I enjoy it.
So you have five schools up there with Reading, Red Bluff. Where else?
I have Red Bluff, Colusa,
mm-hmm.
Yuba City. Oroville, and Chico.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's a lot of fun. And I just get to sit down with the principals, and they might ask, need advice or guidance on something. We just kind of go through. We have a little list of things that our principals must do's, and you know, how can I support them in getting those things done?
Very good. Yeah. Is this a new position, newly created position, or has this
always been around? What, 5, 10, 6, 7 longer years around, but it's my first time.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to retire.
Well, we just had Glenn Faulkner on the parish safety coordinator, and I said when the diocese hires somebody, the first thing they do is they check the tires on their cars.
Yeah.
'Cause they know. Katie, you must know that as well.
Yes.
Katie, tell us what's going on. I know they just had the big academic decathlon.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, we had a wild couple days. We love our diocesan events. Friday, we had our annual choral festival. So all of our choirs were invited to come, and they all perform. And, you know, it's a really great opportunity. Our high school choir directors, they get involved, and they provide feedback to the choirs. And we just end with all the choirs together, end in the same song, and it's just a really, really beautiful day. So that was really fun. And then Saturday, we had our huge academic decathlon. We did that this year at St. Francis High School, mm-hmm. and there was not enough space in this gym for the amount of people that came out this year.
Last year, I got to be the, I don't know, question reader
or
whatever.
Yes, the MC.
And, oh my gosh. In addition to those questions being impossible, it was like covering a basketball game at Gonzaga.
Yes.
It was like it was packed.
It is like people, a Super Bowl.
Yeah. People cheering and yeah.
Yes, it was wild. Dr. Fadia Desmond, our president at St. Francis High School, she was our MC this year. And she even said afterwards, she said, "That was so much pressure.
I just
never felt that much pressure, you know, being the MC for that super quiz."
There was about 5 steps. You ask the question, then you do this, and you give them time. And I missed one of the steps. I thought they were going to kick me out. Everybody said, "Well, you forgot to do this."
It's the audience, the students, the coaches, everyone is hanging on every word of the MC. So it is intense. I remember my first year as superintendent, I was MC. And so from there forward, I'm always offered that opportunity, and I say, I think we should find someone else.
Yeah.
Because it is a lot of pressure, but it was an amazing event, and just the positivity, and the kids come and they're so, you know, excited and anxious and nervous, and they just did a fantastic job. And
well, we always look forward to having them on the show afterwards too.
Yeah, which will be great. So we will invite them to come and join the show.
Can you announce the winners?
Yeah, because I think so, because we announced them. So our overall winners this year was St. Elizabeth Ann Seton.
Hmm.
Elk Grove. Yeah. And then in second place, I think it was St. Mary's in Sacramento. And third place was St. Ignatius.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I got those right, Teresa? Yeah. Yes. We give out so many awards that day, so it's... Yeah.
Are there individual winners, too, or is
it... Yes. Yeah. So we have individual winners for all of the subject areas that they do the individual tests in. So we have lots of winners for that, and we actually announce first through fifth place for each one. So we try to recognize as many students as possible. And then there are other awards for just super quiz and logic quiz and individual tests. So quite a few different winners and different schools. And so many were recognized this year. So it was just really positive. And
so where do the questions come from?
A lot of fun. So we have a whole committee that actually puts this on, and it's a national event now, and that committee creates those. They choose each year what the kids are going to study.
There are schools participating that aren't there.
Correct. I mean, any diocese can be a part of it. So we encourage all dioceses to be a part of it. I can't remember how many dioceses competed this year or who were included, but I'll find out from Lori Power, our events coordinator.
And we had a school from a different diocese participating.
Yeah, we do. So St. Apollinaris out in Napa area. Yeah. So their diocese does not have a full academic decathlon. They don't have enough school teams. So they actually come and they are welcome to join ours. So we include them in ours. Yeah, which is really nice. And
as long as they don't win.
They're scored in a
They're scored separately. Category. Yes, yes. Yeah. So they can't win in our diocese. But then the winners of our diocese, they do go on to compete at the national level. Yeah. In a couple weeks.
And will where will is that going to be a site, or is it all Zoomish?
That was Zoomish. The last couple years it's been Zoomish, yeah.
Too hard to get everybody together, and for the schools that do win, it's a big expense. It used to be that we'd go from Northern California down to Southern California and flip-flop every year. But when pandemic came, they realized they needed another way to do that. And then they were able to actually expand because they could do it virtually. So it's very fun. I've been to the national one because I had two students who, when I was principal at Sacred Heart, who had first place in two categories. And so then the kids know right away if they're the national winners as well.
Oh, wow. And I remember having speech contest winners on. Is that still in the offing, or has that already happened?
Yeah, that already happened. So I know that they had already come on.
We must have had them on in November or something.
Yes,
Seems like a year ago.
Yeah, it does. It happens in the fall, winterish time. So I know that they already came on. And then I know you just welcomed the religion competition.
Yeah, they were fifth and sixth
students.
Graders.
Yes, yeah. From presentation.
Yeah,
right.
Right. Yeah, they were all from presentation.
Yes, yes. So I know that they just had the opportunity to come on. So we are really blessed in our diocese to have so many events diocesan wide. It's a really great opportunity for our schools to be involved and see different kids from different schools.
Well, I think that's part of it that's so important is. They realize that they're not, I mean, frequently you're the only, almost always, unless you're talking about a big urban area, you're the only Catholic school in the town, like Sacred Heart and Red Bluff, you know, and it's great for these kids to see that, oh, there's a whole bunch of Catholic school kids around,
yes.
You know, and
yes.
It's great. It's just like the PAL, you know, the same thing that it's just great to see all those kids compete with each
absolutely.
Other. Oh, was it really?
Yeah, yesterday was the championships for PAL, and I'm just going to boast a little bit about my former school, Sacred Heart, because that's where my heart is. The JV boys took the championship.
This is basketball?
Basketball. JV girls took the championship.
Oh, wow.
And varsity girls took the championship.
This is up to eighth grade?
These are just seventh and eighth graders. An occasional sixth grader might pop in if they're a superstar, but
right.
that was what I went and watched, of course, and it was very exciting. So they were really proud to bring home three new banners for the gym at Sacred Heart.
Wow.
Nice. Yeah, it was exciting. A great, great spirit. And, you know, I saw kids leaving the gym and switching into soccer clothes or flag football clothes and going to the next thing. It's crazy.
When my oldest daughter was at St. James, I don't think she was seventh or eighth. I think she was younger, and it might not have been PAL, but it was some Catholic basketball league, and I drew the short end of the straw, and I ended up coaching.
You've been there, done that in my house, that's for sure.
And this is before St. James and Davis had a gym.
Oh, we may have. So I remember.
We practiced on the hardtop, and if you slipped and went down on that hardtop, or if it was raining or whatever, we had a lot of excuses. But,
and then you went and played at the
We had to go on the road.
We didn't have a home game.
We always were driving into Sacramento, and they had me as a coach. And I remember one school came out and they're doing the layup drill and all these different things and warm-ups. And I stopped our girls and I said, just watch them. Watch what they do.
We've come a long way since then, Bob.
Imitate it. And we would get beat like 42-4, you know, some of those just horrible scores, you know. But we all went to Dairy Queen afterwards.
Yeah, it was fun.
So and then I stopped coaching and Dairy Queen went out of business. I'm not kidding.
See?
They went out of business in Davis.
It wasn't that regular visit then.
It wasn't the regular visit,
up.
Yeah.
Did you treat, too? Did you have to buy?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. You coach and you pay to coach.
Yeah. Volunteer coach and you're going into debt.
That's true.
Exactly.
Yeah, but it was fun. It was fun.
It's really fun. We have all three of my kids played PAL sports, every sport that was offered, and we had a blast. And my husband coached a lot. And then when I was principal, he'd coach at the school where I was principal. You know, it's just what you do.
Yeah. Yep. And none of the girls that I coached went on to get an athletic scholarship anywhere.
Wow, what a disappointment.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one's in the That's WNBA.
And nobody in the WNBA. Yeah. No.
You'd think the way it gets so exciting out there that that's where they're heading.
Well, you know, it's funny with kids too. It's one of the not a tragedy, but it's a sadness where kids grow at such different levels. True. You've got fifth graders, and some of them are 6'2", and some of them are 4'2", and the ones that don't make the team or they're on the bench, you know, by the time they blossom, they've already said, oh, athletics not for me because I wasn't very good. And it's because you hadn't developed yet like some of these other kids. It's I don't know, it's unfair, yeah. But it's just, it's really
it's hard.
Hard
reality.
I'm sure you see that just in academics too, where,
oh, absolutely.
Where some kids are just, it just takes them longer. And then once they bloom, man, they're.
Now they're
top
in medical school.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's true. I've seen that. You know, you think they're never going to make it. Oh, my goodness. And their parents are tearing their hair out. And the next thing you know, I could think of a student who really struggled over the years. And he's coaching football at Washington State. And
no
doing
way.
Great. Yeah. I have a former student who's coaching basketball at Davis. He wanted to be a professional basketball player, but he just, you know, wasn't quite that good. But he's coaching at UC Davis now.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, at Stanford.
Oh, at Stanford. Wow. Oh, my goodness.
He went to Davis and played there. But he ended
what's his name?
His name is Robert Eason.
Oh, sure. Sure, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I
taught him at St. John the Evangelist. So
one of the things I do is I do cover sports for a newspaper and have it's beats working for a living. You know, it's just
big time.
Yeah, it's so much fun.
He's so humble.
Yeah.
That's great. So much fun.
Yeah.
I call Teresa, I always say, you're like the mayor. You just know everybody in Catholic education.
Yeah. So, well, Katie, anything I didn't ask that?
No, I mean, I think I would love just to remind everybody out there that, you know, right now is enrollment season.
Yes.
And registration and please, 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 even if you're just thinking about, you know, looking into Catholic education for somebody you know or a friend of a friend or anybody out there, we would love to talk to you and meet you and help match you with a great school in your neighborhood. So we are always open to hearing from anybody.
And very good.
Yeah. Happy.
Katie?
Happy to chat.
Thanks for joining us, Teresa. Pleasure to meet you.
Thank you. It's nice to meet you as well.
Please don't be a stranger to this program.
Thanks. Anytime.
Very good. We'll take a quick break. Back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. Welcome back, everyone. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour, and we're pleased to be joined by Marie Leatherby, the Executive Director of the Sacramento Life Center. Marie, good day to you.
Good day. How are you, Bob?
Doing fine. Freezing to death, waiting for spring.
Yeah. I know. We keep thinking it's coming, and then, wow, we get hit again.
We've both lived in this area for a while, and what strange weather we've been having. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
I know. So true.
And hopefully last weekend you were not somewhere between Colfax and Truckee in your car.
I'm smarter than that.
Boy, I am too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. A blizzard in California. My relatives in North Dakota are calling and saying, are you guys okay out there?
Yeah. I know.
Wow.
Yep.
So how are things at the Life Center?
Very good. Very good. Very busy. Lots going on. We're, you know, busy seeing more women and raising funds to be able to do it and planning events. So, yeah, it's always a lot going on here.
For those who are unfamiliar, it'd be great to, you know, when I talk with you, I think, oh, everybody knows everything about it.
Right.
But I know we pick up new listeners every day. And for their benefit and everyone's benefit. Tell us a little bit when you really expanded and how that has affected the operation of the Sacramento Life Center.
Yeah, we went from, you know, a very small clinic, mostly doing pregnancy tests and a few ultrasounds, to really expanding to, you know, having a full-blown medical clinic here with full-time medical staff at all times. We're a centralized resource now for all women and teens, especially low-income, to give a continuum of care from the diagnosis of a pregnancy all the way to 2 years after birth. And to make sure, you know, we have resources for them, that they have everything they need to bring that baby into the world and be able to help provide for it.
And, well, into 2 years after birth. So you don't just care about the child in the womb.
No. Although we do care about that child a lot in the womb.
But, sure you do, yeah, indeed.
Yeah.
But you hear that criticism, and it drives me crazy that you folks care about life centers. You know, they call them pregnancy centers, whatever. Or just, you know, when I explain to people why consider myself pro-life, they say, well, mm-hmm. yeah, but you don't care once the baby's been born. And you're going,
I know. Saving a baby's life is a terrible thing in the first place.
And for some people, I guess it's an honest misconception, but it's the old thing. You tell a story often enough, sooner or later, some people just start accepting it as truth when it's the furthest thing from the truth that there is, especially here in the Catholic Church, where, boy, from birth to death, the Catholic Church is there for you.
Extensive organizations and programs. And
for all stages of life and all situations in life.
It's so true. We are just there, and we all work together to provide for people and the poor, and not only the poor, but the poor in spirit. And, you know, try to do everything we can to make the world a better place and healthy people, happy people.
And I should point out, and I think it, you know, if you'd think it would go without saying, but it's not true anymore, that so many places, even charitable places, end up charging something for their services. You folks don't even have a cash register. You don't even have a ATM. You don't have any way to pay if even somebody wanted to pay. There are no charges, no forms to fill out. You don't have to. I've got kids in college now. They call them FAFSA form. You know where?
Oh yeah.
You know you
have
to.
I've done
many. Yeah, I'll bet you have. You know, and it's just, you know, it's, you just, a billionaire could walk in there and avail herself or himself of your services, and there would be no charge.
Yeah, that's so true. Yep, no charge to anyone. We're just there to give hope, hope and care to the hopeless, or, you know, those that don't think that they can continue a pregnancy or have issues with it. Well, let's sit down. Let's figure things out. So,
Marie, I know you're a year or two out from the Life Center having a 50th anniversary, but
yes,
you've done some research and you know about how did it start? I mean, it was pre Roe v. Wade.
Yeah, it was. It was a group of Catholics here in Sacramento, a couple of priests, and I think one nun and her sister, and a few couples that all came together, and it started as an educating people on what abortion really is, and then a phone service, 24-hour call center, mm-hmm. where women could just call to get help, referral, and resources. And
there was no clinic, no anything like that.
Nope. Right, nothing at that time. And then it grew and they got their first office and they worked with Mercy Hospital to do the pregnancy tests and ultrasounds and stuff because it wasn't medical at that time. And then grew where they moved into a clinic, got their medical license and started, you know, hired nurses. And but even then it was pretty small, you know, seeing a few hundred people a year to just kept growing, you know. Now we see a few thousand people, women and families a year and have more programs and are just able just to provide more things, scholarships and benevolent programs. And the baby needs center. We have education classes. So we're just a full service clinic now. So we really, really like it. So, you know, we do STD testing and pap smears and a lot more medical services. We had, a male peer counseling program to work with the dads as well. We still have that 24-hour hotline. Women can call any time of the day or night, but we work with a hotline.
Sure.
National company that will talk to women and refer them right back to us.
And you see several thousand a year.
Last year we saw 2,433 medical appointments, and we have the capacity to see more. So we're calling a sparking hope campaign. Because we don't have the funds like a Planned Parenthood or other places for advertising. And we want to have a better marketing communications campaign to reach more women, you know, find these women who are hopeless. Because the worst thing we hate to hear is, gosh, I wish I knew you'd existed.
Yep.
Gosh,
yep.
I wish I knew everything you did. And so we really need money to be able to reach more women and compete on that marketplace and social media and all that with Planned Parenthood, who has millions. You know, we're small clinics, so we're really trying to work on that campaign. How can we reach every woman in Sacramento to know that we're available
when they find out? It's one of those things that I worry about, as great as all your services are, that how many people don't know about this, and
right.
And I hear you about, you know, you can have a big ad campaign and you think, boy, we spent a lot of money here that we could have spent someplace else. But if it reaches people, then it's not a financial concern. If it reaches people, that's money well spent. If it doesn't reach people, it was the wrong medium or the wrong ad agency or whatever, you're thinking, wow, we could have used that money for something else. And it's a sort of a push-pull, because if people don't know about your services, they're going to go without, and that's not what you want. But obviously, a lot of people in the community know about you. But boy, wouldn't it be great? And I know it probably will never happen, but my guess is that virtually every school, I'm talking about public schools, and I'll never mm-hmm. knock the public schools, but for various reasons, probably most of the kids of childbearing age, say high school kids or older, are, and I don't think of them as childbearing, but just people that would be affected by this, know about Planned Parenthood. It probably is not forbidden in their schools to talk about it or to hear about it. And yet I would be willing to say that if you tried to say, hey, we just want to let people know about this option, that you probably wouldn't get the welcome mat.
No. In fact, there's some people trying to put some bills forth to have school age, high schoolers know about pregnancy clinics. And I know the bill probably in California would never pass. But the reason it's important isn't that, you know, I'm always hearing from people, Planned Parenthood does do a lot of good. Well, they don't help pregnant women have their children.
Right.
They might with a million other things. And but if a woman wants to continue a pregnancy, they're on their own. And so that's why we're so important that women know about us, you know?
It just goes without saying that you're a resource in the community for a certain demographic, if you will. And I know at most of our public universities, I mean, they have not just counselors, they have, you know, a whole part of the university dedicated to, hey, if you've got anything going on that you need help with, we want to hear from you because we'll refer you out. And hopefully, at least at the university level, they would welcome that. I mean, if you're pro-choice, and we hear that all the time, you should be encouraging choice. And you are a choice. I mean, there's basically two choices here. Under the life one, there's several choices. You know, it's adoption or keep the baby or various things, or abortion. But you're either one or the other. But if you truly believe in choice, well, then, like if I'm a legislator, I said, put politics aside here. Do we want people, our constituents in this society to have choice when it comes to having a child? I mean, it seems to me that should be part of women's health and all that, you know, all these sort of buzzwords we hear. If you want people to really have choices, well, let them know about the Sacramento Life Center. Let them know about Bishop Gago's home. Let them know about the Gabriel Project. Let them know about all these things that are providing people in that situation with a choice.
I go
to the doctor with a sore shoulder and he says, well, I can operate or we can give you ibuprofen or we can do this or we can do that. They're giving me all my choices.
Right. And the good thing is, I mean, most people in the community, we network enough. We are on the college resource lists.
Good.
We are on the county resource lists.
Yep.
We're the only pregnancy clinic that is. Because they trust us. They know we're accredited, licensed. We're just there to help people. So, you know, the politicians and politics, too bad they're involved, because people that are in the community working to help people know who we are and will refer to us.
Right.
And put us on their list.
Well, you've told me you even get referrals from Planned Parenthood.
Oh, yeah. Yes, we do. And of course, their powers that be would never admit that. But the women working in that clinic will tell a woman that says, I don't want an abortion. I'm going to carry. Oh, we'll go over here. They'll help you.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. And so we do get several a month from Parenthood for women that need additional help. So that's the real ground level world we're in. But if you're just looking at the politics, like you said, and all the buzzwords, it's an ugly thing. Yeah.
You know, I imagine, you know, if I were, could be governor or it could be president or something like that, how would I deal with this issue? Because it's been, divisive, you know, most social change, if you will, after a certain number of years, it either gets completely rejected or it becomes accepted. This is one that has remained just this big divide in our country. And I mean, the president, the governor can no more declare this is illegal or legal. They don't have that kind of power. It's usually legislative or dictated by a court. But a governor or a president has that bully pulpit and could say, hey, why don't we at least help these centers who are providing great choice and great services to the state or to the country. You're providing a safety net that otherwise doesn't exist.
Yeah, it's true. It doesn't exist. And I can tell you, women that come here are just cannot believe all the information, all of the help, all the, you know, free medical care and nurses to talk to and, you know, extensive, you know, referrals to places in the community to get all kinds of help. So we really are, you know, one of a kind.
I mean, you get and people walking in there, they don't have insurance, they don't have a doctor, they're pregnant.
Right.
Maybe they don't speak the language. On and on and on. Maybe they don't have, maybe they're not citizens. It just doesn't matter to you folks.
It doesn't matter, right? We see, we'll help anyone. We see all, every situation, and we're just here to help. And if anybody, our nurse manager, Julie, is retiring after 15 years.
Oh, wow.
So anybody out there, a nurse that has a heart for this work, give us a call, because we're in the process of taking applications, and it's a big job here, an important job. And so
what are the qualifications? We may, you know, you never know who might be listening.
Yeah, well, we prefer an OB nurse that has some OB, work in OB practice.
An RN, I presume.
Yes, an RN, that, you know, managerial skills can be taught, but somebody with a heart and compassion and loves to help women and, to step in. So we're, you know, there's people that might be tired of working in the hospitals and there's a lot of benefits, to work in here that aren't just money, but time with your family. And it's a great, great fulfilling. People come to work here and they don't leave unless.
It's a full-time job?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, full-time. They can work a little less, a little flexibility, but it's an important job here. You're running all the clinic, and we have medical staff of about 6 to 8 other people that you're managing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also a clinic manager that you work side by side that works with the patient advocates and scheduling and all that. So we have a staff over there of about 17 people in total in the clinic. Yeah.
Wow.
Man, anybody thinks that would have a heart for it, you know, call us up and come on in.
Very good. Very good. Well, hopefully somebody's listening that maybe will fill that bill for you.
Yeah, that would be great.
Marie, you talk about fundraising. You have any events coming up? I know you had the big dinner in November. And you're probably already planning the next one.
We are. Miracles in the Making is what it's called. It's going to be great. But right now for Lent, of course, we have our baby bottle program going on. 31 schools are participating and churches right now. We have about 6,000 bottles out there that can help fill them with cash or coin. You can always go online, have a cool baby bottle program as well. And that's a big one. We've even had some people step forward to their school's baby bottle program to get the kids excited. So if anybody would like to be a matching donor for their school or church, call us up, because that will get people excited to fundraise. And that's our second big fundraiser, baby bottle program.
Really?
So we do it through normally through Lent, through Easter. But people can do it any time of year. We have the bottles here if they do a Advent campaign or a pro-life month campaign or anything like that. It's a way to help us out and provide funding. And it's a real easy thing to do. We drop the bottles and pick them up after you collect them. And we even count the money. So if anybody wants to participate, yeah, give us a call.
Boy, that's great. That's great. What, anything else coming up?
We're doing a diaper giveaway for needy families on our 53rd year. March 21st is our, Founders Day that we were incorporated. So we do a big diaper giveaway to families that need diapers. So if you'd like to contribute to that, diapers and clothing and stuff. And then our Mother's Day, we're hoping last year we kicked it off after COVID, and it was super fun. And we just hope more churches this year can participate in a Rose Day. And
a thorny issue.
A thorny issue. Yeah. But it was very successful last year, and people said, "Wow, I wish we would have ordered more roses. We sold out in the first
mass." Did
you
really?
So, yeah, all these churches participating. This year we'll do the day before. We do a rose prep Saturday morning before, mm-hmm. and at Our Lady of the Assumption Church is the rose prep. And
right. We
need a good 70 volunteers that like to work preparing the roses. So we'll be talking about that soon.
Very good. That's right.
Yeah.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, too. Everything's just around the corner.
Fundraising and lots of fun events happening. So we're very blessed. But, of course, running it's expensive, and our mobile clinics, getting on the road here. So anybody feel the need during Lent to give, there's so many good causes, but of course, this is one of the most important, because without life, you can't have any other cause.
That's true. That's true. This is the first cause. Kind of like the First Amendment, the Constitution,
Yeah.
So let me take a wild stab. Is your dinner going to be on November 9th?
Yes, November 9th. This year, again, at the Hyatt Regency, we keep selling out, so we might have to look for a larger venue. I'm not sure where that is in Sacramento. But
I think Golden One. They're waiting for the call.
Yeah. And so, we're just planning. Great. If anybody has a great pro-life story, we're putting our film together for it. Personal stories, give me a call. Or if you've been helped by the Life Center before. People love to see who they've helped, how it changed and impacted lives. So we love to hear all those stories. There's nothing better than getting a call from somebody that, I just wanted to know how my daughter this age is doing, or, it's keeps us motivated and fulfilled that, this place has really changed lives. And given life to a lot of people.
It really has. Well, Marie, thanks for all you do. Thanks for taking the time to be with us today. And we'll look forward to the next time you're on the Bishop's Hour.
Thank you. God bless now.
God bless, Marie. That's Marie Leatherby, Executive Director of the Sacramento Life Center, which has been a force in this town for 53 years throughout the entire Diocese of Sacramento, probably even stretching into the Stockton Diocese as well. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless everyone. I want to take a minute to talk about the annual Catholic Appeal, the 2024 annual Catholic Appeal. So important here in the Diocese of Sacramento. So many ministries supported by the annual Catholic Appeal, and the people in the Diocese of Sacramento have always been so generous, but a wonderful brochure, a pamphlet, really, that you may have received in the mail, and on the back cover, a picture, maybe it's, front, I guess that's the front cover, Deacon Kevin Staskow says, "I really think that everyone has something to give. When Jesus was literally dying on the cross, he found the strength to turn to the thief being crucified next to him and minister to that person. So often we have all kinds of excuses not to reach out to those next to us. Indeed, today you will be with me in paradise. And you look through this brochure and you will learn the many, many, many ministries that are supported by the annual Catholic Appeal. And 25% of your donation goes back to the parishes for social ministry at your parish. 50% supports charities, Catholic Charities of Sacramento, and the members in that are Catholic Charities of Yolo Solano, Northern Valley Catholic Social Service, which serves Butte, Glen, Shasta, Siskiyou, Tehama, and Trinity counties in this 20-county diocese, and Sacramento Food Bank and Family Services right here in the greater Sacramento area. Also, associate members are Camp Recreation, serving Northern California, the Mother Teresa Maternity Home in Placerville, the Rancho Cordova Food Locker in Greater Sacramento, the Upper Room Dining Hall in Placerville. Many of you who have worked at those places are very familiar with those places or have availed yourself of the wonderful services they provide. 25% supports education, seminary formation, and Catholic school tuition assistance. Partners in the annual Catholic Appeal and Catholic Charities of Sacramento include Anderson Cottonwood Christian Assistance, Bishop Gallegos Maternity Home right here in Sacramento that does such wonderful work, the Catholic Ladies Relief Society up in Chico, Community Assistance Network in Greenville, Portola, and Quincy up in the hills, Loaves and Fishes in Sacramento, which just does wonderful work with the homeless, Sacramento Life Center, which has saved so many lives here in the Sacramento area, Salvation Army Food Shelf in Susanville, the Society of St. Vincent de Paul and their seven district councils, the North State, Placer, Yuba, Sutter, Butte, Sacramento East, South Sacramento, Elk Grove, Sacramento Metro Area, and Yolo Delta and Solano. Also, the Stanford Settlement Neighborhood Center in Sacramento and the Wellsprings Women's Center in Sacramento, plus Yuba City, Yuba Sutter, Right to Life, the two counties just north of Sacramento. More than 100 programs provide things like counseling, emergency fund, shelter and clothing, permanent and transitional housing, job training, pregnancy counseling, post and prenatal care, independent living skills, mentoring, parenting skills, after-school care, refugee resettlement, citizenship and immigration services, and jail ministry. Our gifts help people who are mentally ill, homeless, disaster survivors, immigrants, elderly, developmentally disabled, incarcerated, working families, refugees, at-risk youth, the unborn, pregnant women, the hungry, and single parents. Such a wide, wide range of our Catholic mission here on this earth and in this Diocese of Sacramento. One of the programs through Northern Valley Catholic Social Services is the Court of Appointed Special Advocate Program, which is operated out of all the superior courts in the state of California, and it partners with Northern Valley Catholic Social Service to help kids who need advocates in the courts. They talk about, in this pamphlet, a young woman named Isabel, who is devoted to ensuring a positive support system for foster kids now and for their future. As a court-appointed special advocate, a program administered with compassion and dedication by Northern Valley Catholic Social Service, Isabel gives kids the voice they need in court to have a positive path in life. She was once in foster care herself. The severe trauma a child goes through is all too familiar. Today, she's reunited with her parents, has a family of her own, and is focused on becoming a lawyer. Northern Valley Catholic Social Services gives her the opportunity to advocate in court for children with stories like hers. Again, the annual Catholic Appeal, give generously, give whatever you can, whether it's a small amount, a large amount. Also, more men can say yes to the call to the priesthood. Support from the Annual Catholic Appeal helps seminarian Eric Patrick, who is pictured in this brochure, to become Father Eric Patrick this past June. We've had him on our program, a delightful priest. Father Patrick is earnestly hopeful that he can be a conduit for the experience of God's mercy and love. With coughs offset by the appeal, the 12 men now in seminarian formation can focus less on financial worries and more on preparing to serve in our parishes. The annual Catholic Appeal, wonderful, wonderful way to support so many ministries in the Diocese of Sacramento.
We stand and lift up our hands for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great!